Is wow, what a wonderful time we've had today in the Lord. I'll tell you, so blessed. Oh my goodness. Every word that I've heard in the testimonies, the word that's come forth, I mean, I don't really need to say anything. It's been said, but I do have a few things naturally, because I do count it a privilege to share my testimony and the journey that with lymphoma stage 4 that I went through back in 2011. And, oh, let's see, I have notes all over the place, but not super long. At the beginning of this journey, the Lord gave me this scripture. And it was wonderful how he would work and give me things, and I'll go back a little bit. When I first found out that I had cancer, it was a shock, which always it is when you hear this. I mean, I hadn't even heard the word of an oncologist. And when he said, you know, I've already made an appointment, I'm thinking, what? And so my first thought was, you know, Lord, this is in your hands. So I called up Paul and the girls. I said, meet me at home. And I said, let's go to prayer. So we knelt down in the front room and sought God for direction. Because it's like, that was overwhelming. And it's like, Lord, just show me what I'm supposed to do. Because I've been offered these things, chemo, blah, 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 all that. I want to trust you, but if this is the way, maybe that's what you're going to use. Anyway, as time went on, I would take walks and I would talk with the Lord all the time before I started the chemo, when I was able to, and he would bring forth the most wonderful scriptures to me as I would walk. Oh my goodness, it was like amazing. And songs, because I love to sing and I love music. And he would just pour these songs, and I'd get home, and I had to write them down because it's like, I don't want to forget these things. So I had this journal, which was marvelous, which I went back into it when June had asked me if I would speak and give my testimony. So I thought, I need it. It's like, Lord, refresh my mind about some of the things. I know what he did for me and for my family and for a lot of people. I'll tell you. And I do have to say thank you to everyone here, too, that prayed earnestly all over for that time of that journey, plus then the next journey I went through in 2021 with COVID, which it was just amazing how the Lord works through these things. And the prayer, oh, my goodness. It just went on and on. But let me go back first and give you this scripture, because I think it was so powerful to me. It was in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shalt the flame kindled upon thee. And you know, I'll tell you, when I went through chemo, it was like fire. My body was on fire. And you could feel it just burning. And it was just amazing. And I would go back to that. But through those many things of hospital stays in there, and when I had to go into the hospital, I had the lymphoma force everywhere in my body except my vital organs. And here I am, and it's just been caught. And thank you, Jesus. But you know, my first thought, like I said, was asking the Lord and just trusting him for his perfect will and the direction in whatever was ahead. But you know what? A perfect peace and assurance came upon me. And you know, I have to bring out, like I said, songs. And actually, when Lynn was just saying about... Oh, yeah, there you are. When you had said about a song just a while ago, I was going to go, yes, I have one. It was one that I really, I'm sorry. It was said, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. In that song, it was so amazing because it was just how the Lord would show us and show me constantly the encouragement and what he would have. Well, the day before my first chemo, and I don't think you, maybe you remember this, Lynn, but somebody, we were supposed to sing a special this Sunday morning, and it was Lynn and I think it was Nancy and myself, and we sang Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace. And that was the day before I had my first chemo. Don't you think he was talking to me? I mean, and my family, everybody. I mean, it was just amazing. But during this next month, Pastor was giving a study on Genesis 24. And since I was in bed and my eyes hurt so bad, I couldn't read, but I listened to the messages online and was so encouraged. But it was a huge time in my life of spiritual growth and such a marvelous blessing to my life. That Genesis 24, and I think most of you here know what that is. It's about the bride. It was the most wonderful thing. I listen back to that all the time too. But it just spoke to my heart so mightily. And then as far as went, and then I have to share this part too. I had told Pastor Jesse about my diagnosis, but I didn't tell anybody for a couple weeks. And Paul kept saying, well, you need to have the elders pray for you, Paula. You have to. And I said, I know that, but this isn't the timing. It's his timing. When he tells me, I'll be the one to ask and to want this. So then I did talk to Jesse, and I said I wanted the elders and to come up and pray over me and my family. And so that one Sunday morning, he called myself and my family, but he says, I want Paula and her family to come up. Well, the whole congregation came up. That's my family. Just like here, this is my family. And it was the most amazing thing that I had ever experienced up to that point. Oh my goodness. We were standing there, and I think it was Bobby Steiger that started to pray. But anyway, and Jesse had his hand right here. I hadn't told him where my tumors were. I hadn't said a word. His hand went right there. And I'll tell you that what happened on that platform was amazing. My grandson, Michael, was standing on this side of me, and he had his arm on me. I kid you not, the heat on that platform, all around, it was like fire, and it just came all the way up from down below, and it just came up. Jesse was sweating. Perspiration was dripping off of him as he was praying. It was amazing. Well, my grandson later told me, he says, Grammy, I had my hand on you. And he says, I could feel that heat all the way. And it was just the power of God. And it was just, I'll tell you, it was the most amazing thing. And you don't forget those things. You never do. And that's what I needed to share these things too. And just share this testimony and let you guys know. Also, and I know you've all shared different things and had different things. But through all this, the Lord continually encouraged me to trust him and believe him. You know, I know the healing had happened then, but he allowed me to go through the chemo, losing all my hair, my eyelashes, my eyebrow, everything. I mean, everything a woman really likes to have, it was gone, you know. And I mean, just different things. The weakness, I can't express the weakness that I felt. So I was in bed for months. As I couldn't, the only time I could make it to church is like the day before I was going to have my next chemo, because my immune system had built back up a little bit. I was a little stronger, and then they'd hit me again, and then you were down. And then Paul was so protective. When we'd go to church that day, Paula, I don't want you to get near anybody. Wear some gloves. Do this, do that, because I'm afraid your immune system. It's like, it's okay. You know, the Lord has it. But then that was one of them. And then after that, and the Lord just was so wonderfully, just came in for my life. But more than the physical thing, it was the spiritual. That's what happened in my life. And, you know, I'm thankful for that time, even though it was a hard time. I don't want to denote that and say, oh, yeah, it was a piece of cake. It wasn't very hard. But he was always there, and I trusted him, and I knew. And then after, I was thinking about the scripture that we've been talking about, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. And I had a precious sister in our meeting that at that time made a plaque for me, because she asked me, Paula, what's one of your favorite scriptures? And I said that, so she puts it on. Well, I have it on my landing on a shelf there at the house, which that's what, every time I go to my bedroom or upstairs, that's what I see. I mean, it just implants in you. But then let's move forward up to 2022, when I had the long COVID. And a lot of you know, and I'll tell you, got the sweetest things from Gospel Fellowship too, sent me, and you guys all were just praying for me. You knew it was real, like Shell had mentioned, it was really I couldn't breathe. And anyway, they sent me a prayer cloth. The meeting, do you remember that, June, got together and prayed over a cloth and sent it to me. Our church did the same thing, and I have these to this day. And it was just encouragement. I'll tell you, don't ever think those encouragements, like, I don't know who said, somebody did anyway, about sending a card. If it's on your heart, it's taking a meal to somebody, do something. Like somebody was telling me, digging in their yard, helping with their flowers or something, if they can't do it while somebody's down. But anyway, over that time, thinking about the prayer and just the encouragement. But the doctor had said, I started going to a pulmonologist during that time after I got out of the hospital, and I was on oxygen. And a lot of you guys remember when I went, had oxygen, dragging it to church and everything else. But it's like, I couldn't breathe. And you know, when you can't breathe, it's really awful. I remember my girls helped me down the stairs. We were going to go to a doctor's appointment, and I would take one step at a time, because you can't do any more than that. One, and it's, Shell would say, breathe. And I would just have to breathe. It was amazing. But the doc said at that time that my lungs were so damaged and so scarred that I'd probably be on oxygen the rest of my life. Well, here I am. No oxygen, praise God, but it is Him. All Him. And it's just His healing power. And it's like, I was thinking when I started to come up here, and I was thinking how I'm so thankful in what God has done in my life, and thankful for the time I have to be here and to enjoy all of you and the presence of God. Jesus is so faithful. Oh my goodness. I'm just so thankful for each and every one of you and your testimonies and what it's meant to my life. And so, but it's really funny. I thought at the end, like we've all said, the very last thing, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Praise the Lord.
came to my mind is in Philippians, where it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always and every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And that's how I feel for you all. I've not been able to make it in very many years. Before 11 years ago, I was able to come, you know, most every year. But the Lord has got a different season in my life. So I'll get the messages, you know, and I'll be able to listen to them online and whatever. And I just feel like I'm here, you know. It means so much to me. Whatever state the Lord has us in, I rejoice because that's exactly where we need to be. So in the last 11 years, I've only been able to be here one time, and I think that was, 5 or 6 years ago or something, I'm not quite sure. But the last time I was here with you precious saints was I gave a testimony of what had happened to my daughter. And so I need to maybe just hit a few of those points. I don't know really what the Lord is going to have me share right now. But what he's laid on my heart today is kind of an extension, maybe the next part of the journey. And this has really been, I have never, you know, every once in a while, you know, maybe I'll be asked to speak or whatever, but I've never experienced this kind of a struggle before. And I know why. Because the Lord is pulling back another layer for me. Usually when he'll have me share something, it's after the fact. It's after I've come through the victory, you know, and then he allows you to share the testimony of it. And he's just brought another layer to my attention here in just the last little while, maybe like the last month, he's let me see something. And so I knew the topic was going to be on trust. And so before this happened a month ago, I'm like, oh, okay, great, great, great. You know, I know what the Lord's putting on my heart and everything. And then something happened that I'll get to here in a little bit. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really going another level. And yes, I don't have a victory about this. He's just bringing something to my attention. I've been struggling. I'm like, Lord, I really feel like I'm like standing up here in front of you all naked. I'm like, do I really have to bear this deep, Lord? And so I've been struggling. And so anyway, just pray for me because he has not even allowed me. All right. So Penny, Sister Penny, we saw your notes this morning. You can't even believe all the sheets of paper that he's not letting me. I would sit down and I'd be like, okay, well, can I at least have bullet points? Would you just give me bullet points? No. So anyway, so here I am. So I am just speaking. This is his testimony. My life is his life. And everything that I want to say is to the praise and glory of my precious Savior. Anyway, so the story of my daughter was in January of 2013. She was 22 years old, and so she'd become an EMT, and she wanted to be a paramedic. So she was going to paramedic school. And so her passion was to help people in their darkest time, you know. And she didn't want to be a nurse. You know, she wanted to be there as it's most critical. That's what she wanted to do. So anyway, early in the morning, she went and parked her truck in this little parking lot, and then she needed to cross the street to go into the building where paramedic school is. So she parked her truck, and she's standing on the corner, her and a couple of other students, and there was a car accident in the intersection, and one of those cars bounced off and hit her and two other students. And so anyway, she was the most severely, they were all critically injured. But Lauren was the most severely injured because she also, besides all the broken bones and all of that that she sustained, the biggest thing was that she had a traumatic brain injury. So anyway, I get that call early in the morning, you know, that every parent, you know, I think probably maybe one of your biggest fears as of a parent is that something like that is going to happen to your children and or one of your children, and that that you'll get that call. You know, I don't know if any of you are, but anytime you ever get a phone call at a weird time, it's just like, you know, you're a little bit like, oh my gosh, what is that? So anyway, as it was, as the Lord would have it, my husband David was out of town on a business trip, and I had stayed the night, which I had never done this ever before. But I had stayed the night with a girlfriend. We'd gone to Bible study at church that night together, and her husband was also out of town. And so she said, well, why don't you just spend the night with me, and we'll have a Bible study in the morning. And I said, oh, that sounds wonderful. So it's like 7:30 in the morning, maybe 7:15, and I had my cell phone. And anyway, the phone rings, and so ultimately it's that call, you know, the emergency room saying to, first of all, you know, is this Lauren's mother? Yes. You know, there's been an accident. You know, we need you to come to Swedish Hospital emergency room. Do you have someone that can bring you? And the second that they said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really bad. So anyway, my friend brought me, and that was the longest car ride of my whole entire life. And all I could hear, literally all I could hear, it wasn't visible because actually I even said, do you hear that? And she's like, no. But all I could hear within my heart was, I have prepared you for this. I have all the way to the hospital. I have prepared you for this. I have prepared you for this. So I want to pause just a second, because we've all, each and every one of us, if we heard all of our stories, you know, all of us, you know, somebody's like, oh, Shelly's daughter has a traumatic brain injury, but so-and-so has this, and so, we all have these huge things in our life, whatever they are. You know, the Lord has designed each and every path for each one of us. And so to this point, he has prepared. He doesn't just toss us out there with, he has been building this faith in us from whenever we've believed, he's been building. And so, you know, for me, and just even hearing that, and I was so thankful too, because I know he had been giving me, I've got to say before that, I had been in the Word, just the Lord had been for about the 13 years before that, for the first time in my life, although I've been a Christian since I don't remember when, a little girl. But just gleaning in the Word, and healings of my heart had taken place, and all of these things were going on. And so I knew when that happened, first of all, I knew that the Lord did not nod off, you know, and this just was a happenstance. I knew that it was ordered of the Lord, just like what Michelle said, that, and whether it directly came from the hand of Satan or the Lord allowed, whichever, it was just like, but it doesn't matter. The Lord allowed it. And, so I never doubted. I never doubted that he didn't love us, that he didn't have this, and that this wasn't his plan. But anyway, so I get to the hospital, and so, like I said, my husband was out of town. My girlfriend dropped me off. So I go in. In the meanwhile, while I was in the car, I was calling my family members and everything. So nobody was there yet. And so I was all by myself, and they take me back into this room. And so there's Lauren. And so first of all, because she was out, so I know nothing about the medical field. I mean, zero. I knew how to take my kids' temperature when they were little, and that's about it, and put a Band-Aid on their skin. But Anyway, but because Lauren had been going to paramedic school, she talked to me about some of the things that they were learning. And she told me about that if they came on a scene, one of the signs of a brain injury was that you would have contractures and your arms could either roll up like this or roll out like that. And so that's the only reason I knew that about a brain injury. So as I walk in, I see her arms curled up like this. Of course, they've already got their ventilator is breathing for her. She's in a coma. And so I remember seeing this. And so before they even told me what all was wrong, and of course she's unconscious, I knew, I'm like, oh my gosh, she has a brain injury. And, you know, as a parent, as, and I believe the Lord has women, he has them in a caretaking role, whether they're whether it's their husband, their children, other family members, saints, you know, that just so often is the role that he has them in. And we're fixers. We want to fix everything. We want to make it better. We can, is there any way I can help your suffering? That is just what he's put inside of us. So I remember I'm looking at her and I'm like, I can't fix anything. And, but it's so, I mean, it's just kind of really silly actually, but it's just shows how we are though. There was one thing, you know, they had this mask and it had elastic strap. And this one thing just sticks right with me. There's so many things I cannot remember, but I remember this one thing. Her little earlobe was folded because the, you know, the strap was like this and her earlobe was up. And I just felt like the only thing I could control was to just tuck her little earlobe, you know, back down again. That's all I could do. But so anyway, as it went, you know, eventually I think my mom was the next one that got there. And, you know, of course, we're just calling on the Lord. And as the hours passed, you know, after they did all this scan and they called, you know, still my husband didn't even arrive for probably 5 or 6 hours later. But as we found out what all of the injuries were, you know, she just had multiple broken bones, and the arteries, her carotid arteries had dissected, and they both had aneurysms, and, you know, collapsed lungs, and broken, you know, C4, and a leg, and deep contusions, and all of this stuff. And I remember as the doctor told us everything that was wrong, you know, and just kept on going line by line, and I was just, I was like, you know, just maybe one thing alone is just, how is she going to overcome this? But then as they kept on going down and down and down and down, and, but yet I knew that the Lord had this situation. So anyway, she ended up that she was in a coma for almost 6 weeks. And, you know, I know, those of you that were here that heard at the time, you know, just that so many saints were praying. And I can't even tell you how the body of Christ, how, you know, with those prayers and people rallying around, what that meant to us. But anyway, so she was in this, she was in a coma, and we didn't know which way the Lord was going to go. We did not know if he was going to spare her life or if he was going to take her home. And actually, the Lord had given David a special faith that he was going to perform a miracle and that he was going to spare her life. And, but the way he encouraged me, now he has given me faith for things in the past where I just absolutely know that something particular is going to happen. But this time he did, how he was encouraging me was wherever, whatever way this goes, you know, I am going to take care of your heart. I'm going to take care of your heart. And kind of going back, you know, many years before that, maybe 2002, he had done a work in my heart. He had healed me of some hurts that had been building and building and building over years and years. And Lynn Puelka knows what I'm talking about, because she was the vessel, one of the vessels that the Lord used to bring about a healing. And but anyway, so, but because of that event, what I'm saying, you know, when the Lord says, I've prepared you for this, that he gives you these events of like stepping stones of faith in your life. And it was because of that one thing. Now, there was anguish that I had gone through year after year after year, you know, in a hurt in my heart, that because when that was healed, and I've almost got to refer to Sister Vicki, and she has a sweet book of different spiritual, you know, parallels of healings. And she's got one that just hits mine right on the mark, you know, about a spiritual abscess, you know, of the heart. Well, also a little bit of that and also the heart murmur. They're both together for my story. But anyway, but because of that healing in my heart, I knew how the Lord, no matter what hurts are there, that the Lord can just flip everything. And so because of that, I knew that whether he took her home, I knew that if that was coming, it was going to be a sorrow that up to that point I had never experienced before. I knew that. Just several years before that, my sister-in-law had lost her son, my nephew, at the age of 21. And, you know, the Lord will allow you to. So I had grieved with her. I'd grieved as an aunt. But also the Lord, you know, a lot of times he'll let you literally feel the grieving. I felt the grief and in moments as a mother with her. And so it was like that door was not an unknown door for me. That I was like, oh my gosh, I know the sorrow. If the Lord does take her home, that's coming my way. But I know that there will be that sorrow, but I know that joy will come in the morning. I know it because he's already done that to my heart. I know that. And that I'm going to be okay. This thing isn't going to take me out. You know, that at some point in time, I will be able to say it is well. So anyway, with all that said, it's been a long journey. She was, you know, with a brain injury. So she was in a coma for 6 months, but then slowly she started to come back. Now, a brain injury is nothing usually like you see on TV, but I didn't know that. So I was kind of thinking of these stories that you see on TV where the person is in a coma. And then when they wake up, they say, oh, what happened? And so I was expecting that, you know, if eventually that she was going to come out, that I had to be there all the time, because from the moment she was conscious, I needed to be there because she wasn't going to know what happened to her. Well, guess what? That didn't happen at all. So as she slowly starts to kind of, I mean, the first signs are, you know, just maybe bodies, the parts might move a little bit, you know, or eye might flicker, whatever. And so she slowly starts to come. And actually one eye total, because she had hurt her third nerve. And so one eyelid completely stayed down for a long time, probably 4 months. But anyway, it was like what it was for her and a lot of people that have a traumatic brain injury is it's like you've got a computer and you unplug everything in that computer. And then things, you know, plugs might go back in, but they have no rhyme or reason sometimes when they come back. And not all of them might even come back. You don't know. And that's like all the pathways in your brain, you know, they just get all unplugged. So anyway, so it was a very slow road with her. And so let's see. So also what happened was that not only with her brain injury, but also because her lungs collapsed, eventually they told us that you can have secondary consequences to such a injury. And that's also what happened to her. You know, she ended up and got pneumonia, and then further her lungs got bad. It was called ARDS. And she got blood clots, and she got a spinal fluid leak, and she got a bacterial infection. It's called C. diff. And, you know, basically, and the medical people in the room would know that, where, you know, she just had diarrhea. Now, mind you, she's unconscious. And so as her mom, I'm there to make sure. So I can't do all of this. All of this is out of control. But, you know, I'm there making sure that she's being flipped, you know, every however long it needed to be, so she doesn't get bed sores, and that, you know, if she does go to the bathroom, that she's not laying in that, you know, and that they're there to clean her up, and, you know, because she's unconscious. So anyway, so we'll just kind of fast forward here a little bit. So that happened, and then when she did slowly start to wake up and everything, then they sent her to another long-term acute care place for, like, so that she was at the first place for 2 months, the next place for a month, because that was to help her get off of the ventilator. And then she went to a rehab hospital, and this place is called Craig Hospital in Denver. And she was there for 3 months as she started to rehab. And here again, I mean, she didn't even speak almost the whole entire time she was there. So she literally said her first word 1 week because insurance had run out. And so we didn't even know where she was cognitively that whole time. We didn't know if she knew who we were. We couldn't communicate with her. And then once we got her home, you know, we at least got in-home therapies. And so slowly different things would come back, but she'd have to have multiple surgeries for contractures she'd have. She worked very hard at, you know, so the doctors early on, well, first of all, they said that she would never live. And then it was like, well, your lungs have been so severely damaged that, you know, you'll never be able to breathe without oxygen again. And then it was, you know, well, you won't, because of, she didn't have spinal cord damage, but because of the brain injury, it was both her balance and her her movement, you know, that was hurt. And so they said that she would never walk without some sort of assistance. And so anyway, so our journey for this whole 11 years, because of the brain and because the brain, because the Lord made it this way, some of those pathways that were injured can actually heal, or they can make new pathways. So, you know, so for instance, you know, she can walk. And as a matter of fact, she worked, you know, with therapy, I would say probably 3 or 4 years, to get to walk, to be able to walk around without her walker or poles or a cane or anything. And we still use the walker if she's got to go long distances and things like that. But anyway, there's been a progression over the years. So, you know, several people have asked, you know, how's Lauren and what's she doing now? And, you know, the Lord is so sweet because so she has one thing that she, so she was hurt both physically and she was hurt cognitively. So she's still got some deficits with her memory, and it's more short-term, not long-term. And it took even several years even for a lot of that to come back, her long-term. And but she also has where it's a higher executive functioning where she doesn't make goals. So she, and I never really even realized, you know, until all of this happened, that could happen. But she just basically lives pretty much in the day. I mean, she knows that for a week we do different therapies on different days and everything, but she doesn't have that, whatever it is, to make a goal, you know? And, you know, but I want to say that the Lord, He has her right where He wants her. You know, that speaks to me all the time in that, you know, I think to myself, where He says, you know, sufficient is the day, and don't, you know, and basically even don't worry about tomorrow. And she doesn't. I mean, now, and so as a mom, you know, I try to help her. Can we do any therapy so that she can get this back or whatever? And I think, well, actually, this is a blessing. Sometimes I just look at her and I'm like, I wish I could just do that. Can I just be happy? And I want to say this is so sweet. So she's got all of these scars all over her body. Some are visible and some are invisible. And the majority of them, I think we counted one day, and it was like 34 or something like that. And I think 30 of them are from the accident. And but the ones that are most visible are is her trach scar right here, and then she's got some little scars of the stitching that it had to hold it in place, and then also on her chin. And this one time I said to her, I said, honey, I said, you know, do you want to, you know, because plastic surgeons have told us that they kind of fix that so they wouldn't be so obvious. And I said, well, sweetheart, you know, would you like some surgery to fix those? And she said, no. You know, she's proud of these scars. I mean, for her, it's the that she knows she is a miracle of the Lord. And I want to show you really quick, and then I'll go on with the second half of this. So now she's painting. So a cousin of mine does painting with her. And so I can see that the Lord is opening a door, and she loves, and she always has loved to do paintings of sunsets. And so she wants to do paintings, and we've been, we got approved to be peer mentors where that we can go to this rehab hospital that she was at, Craig Hospital, and go to patients that are inpatient and visit them in their rooms. Not anybody can do that. We had to get approved and go through some things to do that. But she wants to either put inspirational. This says, believe that every sunset will bring a new day of hope. And so we'll see if the Lord continues to open a door and or put a verse on it or whatever. But so the second half of this is this. So since Lauren and I have been going back to Craig Hospital, and this just happened within the last maybe 2 months, really, going in to visit people in their room. And what was on my heart was to just, I just pray, Lord, you know, use us however you would have, you know, to encourage people. But what was on my heart was to just bring people hope, you know, that there are other days besides this right here. And, so about a month ago, we went into a room, and it was a father and a son. So the son was probably 20 or 21, and a dad, and actually the family's from Austin, Texas. And the young man had been in a car accident, a serious car accident. And so we went in there, and I mean, within, you know how it is. Within probably 2 minutes, you find out that these people are Christians. And they've got this family, the mom wasn't there. She was in Austin with the other kids because they have three other kids at home. And I found out that they're a strong Christian family. And so the dad said, well, we have a Caring Bridge site. And we'd had one of those for Lauren. What that was it was a way, it's almost like maybe a Facebook or something like that, but for basically so that you can put updates of what's going on with your loved one while they're in a crisis like this, and then people can, you know, read the Caring Bridge. So anyway, the dad said, you know, if you want to know our story, go on to Caring Bridge. Well, they were already maybe 4 months into their journey by this point in time. So Lauren and I went home that day, and we started to read their Caring Bridge, and starting at the very back when he was, or the beginning when he was injured back in November. So I start reading, and what happened was, I mean, it was like I was experiencing everything that happened to Lauren. You know, Lauren had a Caring Bridge, and to this day, I've never gone back to read that. She had received cards from the hospital. I haven't been able to. I've got them ready to read, and the pain from that whole hospitalization period, that 6 months period of time, it's like I can't go there. It's 11 years later, and I can't go there. And so as I was reading this Caring Bridge, and all of this pain came flooding in, and so the first thing I thought was, I don't know if I can go back and do this. And they keep asking, because it's kind of, it's a little bit funny, that the people that end up in our peer mentors are the patients because they don't have a memory of being hurt. You know, and it's the caregivers, actually. They want caregivers to go back in. But there isn't. I think me and one other lady are the only two out of all of their peer mentors. And when that happened to me, I'm like, oh, I know why. You know, 'cause we do remember. We remember this, you know, and the man that's kind of in charge of the program, and he's got a TBI. I've become pretty good friends with him. I said, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this, you know, just come back, walk back into that same pain all of the time. As much as I'd like to bring families hope or whatever, I don't know if I can do this. So, you know, after that happened, though, the Lord, he's started to, you know, there's one thing about, you know, the Lord always wants us to have compassion and to just even be able to step in. And, you know, whatever, if, you know, where he says about comfort those that, you know, that the Lord has comforted you. I have that verse somewhere in all of my notes. But anyway, you know, so you want to be able to do that. But I know that, I'll say this, because I had that healing of my heart that many years ago. The Lord is, I'm knowing that there's a difference between having compassion for somebody and then if there's something still going on in my heart. You know, I had to start, you know, I know that, you know, they talk about, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome and things like that. And, but this is what I know, but I also know that if that's going on, if there's that the Lord can heal this, I know enough signs that if it's this excruciating pain, that maybe there's something that I really need to ask the Lord about. Lord, is there something? Is there something deeper that you want? You know, is there a reason I can't go back here? And so, I mean, that's been my struggle. I'm like, oh, I thought that, you know, I've had to, you know, I just, you know, like David, when the Lord starts to bring things up, you know, it's just always search me, Lord, know my heart. Well, something else happened. So I think my mom will give her testimony here in a little while. Before all this happened with Lauren, right a year before all that, my mom had gone through stage 4 cancer. So we had just gone through that journey with her, and the Lord healed her. And but let's see here. So, but in 2021, she ended up and got COVID. And so anyway, she got really, really bad. And so she had to go to the hospital. And that was still when they wouldn't let loved ones go into the room with people. And I am telling you, that hit a button in me that when I found out that she was in the hospital and nobody could be with her, and I'm just like, because, you know, I was going back to, I can't tell you of all the things for those, that whole time that Lauren was hospitalized, that I knew that the Lord was her protector, but just in case, you know, he didn't decide to whatever, I needed to be there. I needed to make sure that this was happening and this was happening and this was happening. And, you know, I've got to go back to a time, and I know this, that, so, you know, it's so strange. And this is what I've been asking the Lord. This is, so how is it that I could trust him for the initial event and know that he had that? But then when it comes to watching your loved one in the suffering, that, so I'm trusting him for this big thing, whether he takes her life or not. But, and I know that he can, whatever suffering might come, it's in his hand. if he protects the suffering or if he lets it come. It's in his hand. I mean, doesn't it? It makes me think about, you know, Mary, when Lazarus was sick, you know, and then Lazarus dies, you know, and then he comes back and she's like, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died, you know, and then even, and he weeps with her. And so I can't tell you how many times. So I was literally, my family was so sweet because we were there as much as the hospital would let us be. And they even gave us, they were gracious because, you know, usually visiting hours are like 8 to 7 or whatever. They would let us come actually as early as we'd want. And we could stay until like 11, 12. But we were getting so exhausted so that we were to the point that we had to trust whoever was with her from whatever nurse or whoever. And I got to know them all and I had my favorites. And when somebody that I didn't think was really, really on top of it, I'm like, oh, Jesus, please, you know, they're not that. I don't know that they'll, you know, really be watching her tonight. And so literally we had to leave her from like midnight to 6 because we were absolutely exhausted. And so this one night, you know, I left her, and right before, you know, when I'd always, oh, Lord, just, you know, while I'm not there, I'm going to let you watch her. And don't let anything happen to her while I'm not in these 6 hours that I can't make sure that nothing's not going right. And this one particular we get up and go in the next morning, and she was still in a coma, but we walk into her room. And her note, what had happened was, because she was on blood thinners, because she'd gotten blood clots, she had this bloody nose. And she had such a bad, bad bloody nose that they put one of those air things up here, and it like swole up this whole area in her nose. And I walked in and I'm like, what's going on? And they said, well, she's got a bloody nose. And I could just feel in my spirit, I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't right. I just knew. I'm like, this isn't right. You've got to get those out. No. We have to leave them in for however they had to leave them in, which seemed like forever. Well, sure enough, when they took them out, it had, I mean, mind you, she's got a brain injury and they didn't want the pressure, you know, to continue to be in the brain. Well, anyway, there was a little, bone that cracked. And then she ended up and got a spinal fluid leak after they pulled those out. And then after that, she ended up, because then they had to give her more antibiotics, and she ended up and got this infection, the C. diff, again for the second time. And it just seemed like, and so I remember just thinking, Lord, I asked you to watch her while I was in bed, you know. And so anyway, so coming back to when my mom goes into the hospital, and I just felt like, oh, nobody's going to be there to make sure that they are doing what they need to do. And I was going out of my mind. And so actually, Dad had taken Mom to the hospital late, so I didn't even know until early in the morning that they had admitted her, and he had to go home. So he calls me the next morning, you know, Shell, they admitted Mom to the hospital. And I'm like, what? What? Well, and so I call, and he says, well, they didn't have a room yet, but hopefully by, you know, early in the morning, she's got a room. So anyway, I call the nurse's station. This is early on a Sunday morning, and I get the nurse's station. You know, I said, I understand that you checked Paul Hill in, and they said, yeah, and they said, well, we'll ring the room. I said, okay. So they ring the room, and I hear the phone, chink, 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 chink. Hello? I'm like, Mom, are you okay? And then she's just mumbling. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I hear the phone drop. And I am just out of my mind. I'm like, oh no. And so then I get Lauren on her cell phone. I'm like, Lauren, call the nurse's station, dialed the hospital and the nurse's station. And then I'm calling the nurse's station, and you know, I'm saying, send somebody to go check on my mom. Well, anyway, all of this, and she was really, really bad. She was very, very bad. But just to give that detail, I had such a fear. You know, we're talking about fear and trusting the Lord. But, and so how can you trust him for this one big thing? But the suffering, you know, the day-to-day, the watching, you know, a loved one in the suffering, you know, and there will be things, you know, that the Lord will have us to relieve, but then there will be things that we just have to trust him if he allows it to go that way, just trusting him. And so I know that, you know, even, you know, like I said, I was just really going back and forth with the Lord because I'm like, well, you're just bringing this to the surface for me. I'm like, Lord, I don't even know. And I truly don't, as I am going to say right now. He's just uncovering this. I don't know even what this means. I'm like, what, you know, and I woke up a couple days ago because I'm like, well, Lord, you know, I don't have this like aha moment to come up here and say, you know, and I woke up and he just said to me, work of faith. It's just a work of faith. And I also think about, oh, well, I've got to tell you. So while I was in the ICU room with Lauren, you know, he was doing such miraculous things. And, but this one time, Lauren, they were going to do some procedure, and David and I had to sign. It was very risky. Oh, I know, because the pressure was increasing in her brain so much. They were going to have put a bolt in there to drain off some of the fluid. And so we had to go and sign this form, you know, and, but there had already been things happening before that. So anyway, when we did that, I came out from the back and from the where she was back to the waiting room. And we had taken over a little corner of the waiting room since we'd been there for so long. And we had a devotional book. And a friend of mine read the scripture to me, and it's Deuteronomy 31:6. And it was, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So I read that. Well, actually, she read it to me. And then she handed me the devotional book, and she's like, now you read it. And so I read it, and then she's like, read it again. And I read it again. And then I got a text message on my phone from another friend that lived across the town. And I open up my phone. It's the same verse. It is the same verse. So I mean, this has been my verse. This has been my verse through this whole journey, you know, because there has been thing after thing, surgery after surgery, this after this has been 11 years. And it's like, Lord, I've just, especially that first 6 months, if I wasn't in control, or if I didn't feel like I was in control, let's see here. I was afraid. And, you know, I just, you know, I know, oh, this is what I want to say. So, going back to Vicki's book. So, isn't it awesome that sometimes you can quote somebody, you know, as you're up here? Well, how often do you get to quote somebody and they're right there? So I'd like to read from Sister Vicki's book. And this has meant so much to me. I've got to tell you, it's meant so much to me, all of them. But so this is where I am, because I'm not standing up here saying that I have this awesome end of the story thing, really, for me, although that I know that I'm a work in progress. You know, like we all are. It's a work of faith. And I'm thankful that I know that thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. I don't have to have had this, you know, there are times that I know that he's there in, you know, all of these areas. And it's this, he's continues to do this layering work on us, layer by layer by layer. And I want to read from one of these chapters that Sister Vicki, it's on scars. And I think that this is where the Lord has left me. Because, you know, we can have physical scars, but then there can be scars of the heart. And I know that we've talked a little bit about that today. A few people have talked about the things of the heart, and I feel that that's what it has been for me, a journey of a caretaker for me, has been more of a heartache, watching suffering in a loved one of mine. And it goes as follows. The scars of Jesus tell a story of love and obedience to the will of his Father. He could have avoided them. But what did he pray in the garden? Not my will, but thine be done. He said in Hebrews 10:7, I come to do the will, to do thy will, O God. So he went through the process of obtaining those scars because of his love for us. The scars in his hands will be seen by the world, but he had another wound. The scar from the wound that pierced his heart was only seen by those who were close and intimate with him. He was behind closed doors because in order to expose that wound, he had to pull apart his clothing to partially disrobe. Only those who were close to him and familiar with him were allowed to see and touch that wound. In Philippians 3:10, we read that Paul desired to know him and the fellowship of his suffering. He desired to be close and intimate with the Lord. He wanted to know him in the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection was evidenced by the fact that he had scars in his hand and his side. Paul said he wanted more than just evidence. He wanted to fellowship with Jesus' sufferings, being made conformable to his death. And that's what I want. That's what I want for me. I know that he's doing a further work in my heart through all this. And I know, I am confident that everything that comes from his hand and that he is there in fear. Also, I know that, you know, I've just thought about that, trusting him more, trusting him with all my heart. If there is something that's holding me back from all of that, Lord, just bring that to me in, you know, even in watching the suffering of a loved one. And I think about, you know, when Jesus was, talk about him being touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, although when he was suffering on that cross, I think about this. He was aware of what everybody was feeling too. So you think about his mom watching him suffer, you know, and I mean, here he's suffering and he's like, and John, you know, take care of my mother, you know, and just even before he went, you know, just, you know, telling Peter he'd pray for him and this and that. And he's, you know, so I just even think about, you know, he knows, you know, my and our, you know, if the Lord calls us to go alongside of somebody in a suffering, you know, whether we're suffering or they're suffering, you know, he hears every single bit of that. He knows the fear, and he will complete that work that he's begun in us. Praise the Lord.